What is up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast, Season 4, Episode 46. We are here to bring you, again, the latest in news, impressions, reviews, toes, maybe, depending on how you feeling or whatever day it is, necks, all about the necks, and everything else in the video game spectrum, but from a minority perspective. I am your host today, DJ, aka Sexy Bad Choices, aka the nose on the mic, aka Did You Know? PlayStation touted of having the biggest launch in their console history, and I'm like, huh, I ain't see it.
I clearly don't have one.
No, what you have.
That sounds like poor people talk.
Sean got all the PlayStation 5s.
I am Sean MF Ross.
And what the MF stand for?
Scoopy Banoopy.
Boopy dee scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop dee. Scoop dee whoop.
Whoa. Scoopy Banoopy.
Scoopy Banoopy.
I don't think there's a single M or F in that at all.
It's silent.
Oh, I see it now. You know what? That makes sense. I get it.
It's not pronounced phonetically, I think.
Look at you with your fancy book learning. Probably got a PhD, don't you?
A pretty huge dick.
Working on it. That's what I was working on when I was now on this podcast.
Oh.
What is up, everybody? It is Cameron, a.k.a. the dad who went for cigarettes and never came back. But only comes back around the holidays because your mom makes a mean plate.
It's so nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then, and last up,
Jordan, aka JXBot, aka Jordan of Raventhorpe, aka the Truth Tangler.
Oh my god.
Ooh. And if you do play Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you will learn that there are many ways to call people awful things and sound amazing doing it.
I like that. The Truth Tangler.
I know, he's that for the bedroom.
You're right. Got tatted on my back.
Is that going to be a tramp stamp, DJ? Right.
What is this? Oh, you about to find out.
About to do some detangling around right here.
All right, speaking of detangling, we are going to talk about the games we have been tangling. I nailed it. Aren't you impressed, Cam? Be impressed.
Yeah.
Be impressed, Cam.
He's not one of my smartest sons.
Speaking of smart sons, Cam, what you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of games. I started off with Watch Dogs Legion, and my goal, honestly, was to beat the game by the time you all did the review cast, so it could have been me, Doug, and Avery. That way, the podcast could have had both the dads who abandoned the podcast on it. But kind of true to DJ's point, which you threw in the Slack, after about 20 hours, I really did not want to finish playing that game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took a break to play the free PlayStation game of November, which was Shadow of War.
Okay.
Fun game. Gave me the Arkham vibe that I was looking for, the fast-paced action that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was interesting is, so when Shadows of War came out, there was a lot of controversy around the loot and microtransaction economy and currency that they had, to the point that the devs, when in patching the game, patched out a lot of the microtransactions and the predatory like loot system.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
And so now playing that game after that, it's weird because the looting mechanic and the orc nemesis mechanic doesn't really make sense because there is no predatory lending piece there. So you're like, you're doing all this looting and the game is trying to get you to invest in all these different types of currencies.
Yeah.
But there is no looting piece to it. And so it kind of makes it grindy, but then there's like this disconnect. And so I was just like, I'm not interested in the story. I'm only here for the action.
Interesting.
And so I beat the game, went back to Watch Dogs Legion, and I was like, yeah, it's a no for me. I was like, there's only been so many ways I can like do the same mission over again.
Yeah.
Also, in the beginning, when I first started playing Watch Dogs Legion, I was playing on permadeath.
Yeah.
And I was playing with stealth. And wow. I turned the permadeath off. And I no longer care about stealth. I just go in with the hitman character and just kill everybody.
Yeah, that gun kinda.
Yep.
I am John Wick. Watch me be John Wick.
And so I was just like, you know, that's where I am. But the game just wasn't fast enough for me.
Did you recruit many people?
I probably recruited about 20, but then I ended up only using the same 4 or 5 people.
Mm.
And I was just like,
I recruited all of 2 people. Okay.
Two.
If you go back and listen to our cast, our review cast, I didn't recruit anybody. The game did not force me to recruit.
Yo.
But like, how? I mean, because the people that tell you to recruit, like the construction worker and the Albion employee, that's really it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I use the construction worker and the hit woman that they give you for liberating an area.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, like,
so I just use those 2 people.
I like the spy. Because I like the watch and the car cloaking and missile launcher.
Wait, what did the watch do now?
The watch jams all the guns in the area. It just feels more roleplay like for the type of setting.
So all the guns are computers?
Well, you can jam enemies' guns in Watch Dogs. That's always been a thing.
Shut up, DJ.
But
I've never heard of a watch jamming a gun unless you're throwing the watch into the gun as it's
like. Yo, you're the worst. But, I mean, I don't know. It's computers, man. Everything's hackable.
Okay. Okay.
None of it makes sense.
You don't need to jam a gun when they got a nail in their head. That was my motto.
So in addition to that, I started playing Dragon Quest on the Switch. I had the game a while, but stopped playing it for some random reason.
Dragon Quest 11, right?
Yeah, Dragon Quest 11 on the Switch. I like it. It's a great game. Nothing really to say there. But the main thing to talk about is I'm currently playing Witcher 3.
Marcus, do it.
Shit, don't gotta tell me twice, nigga.
And I got it because the game is on sale. I actually really enjoy it.
Are you, you're playing it on the PS4, right?
Yeah, I'm playing it on the PS4. Of course, Sean.
I mean, you might be playing it on the toaster. It might be like Skyrim. I don't know what they ported it to. But
this thing is like,
can't play Witcher 3 on the Switch.
I mean, they did port it to the Switch.
Oh, they did, but like that seemed like a horrible experience.
Yes.
They do have the available PS5 upgrade for the Witcher 3.
I know they do, Sean. You're the only one who probably can play it because you're the only one with a PS5 on this cast. Freaking 1%er.
Sean's like, you don't charge your car with electricity? I mean, what what are you?
You bum ass.
You don't have a Tuesday Tesla? Right. A Wednesday Porsche? No, Sean, I do not. I'm poor.
A Tuesday Tesla. Oh my gosh.
But the thing that makes The Witcher funny in the context of this podcast was because, like many games that I've been wrong about, I talked so much shit about The Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is one of the worst games. I was like, I don't get the appeal. I don't understand it. Having a fantastic time. what I want it to be playing right now.
Mm-mm-mm.
Until Cyberpunk comes out, so
yeah,
you heard it here again, folks. I was wrong. So I was wrong about Mass Effect Andromeda. Wrong about.
You done broke Avery's brain with that one, yo.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh.
Well, man, I was about to get into fisticuffs over this game.
And I was wrong about Witcher 3. So mm-hmm. Marcus and Cube, the music.
All right. So
now, if only we can get DJ to understand that he's wrong
about Gundam.
About his next game that he's going to mention. But go ahead, DJ.
So, with this downtime, I mentioned in the chat that, you know what? I'm going to give this game a shot because I've been talking so much shit about Souls games. So, I downloaded Bloodborne.
I ain't got nothing for you there, bro. I didn't like it.
The first time I played it, I mentioned that I fought the werewolf at the front end of the game. The werewolf whooped my ass because it's a werewolf.
You're not meant to beat it.
You're not meant to beat it. You're meant to die, and that will take you through the structure of this game. Hmm. So this time around, I bypassed said werewolf, and I got myself outside, and I was like, I felt like I broke the game. Because once you get outside, nothing happens. So you start, you know what Bloodborne is. I'm not going to go through the process of explaining what Bloodborne is. You start inside this house or whatever. The doors are open. There's a werewolf that's standing between you and one door. And you're supposed to go to the werewolf. You're supposed to fight the werewolf and die. And this is Bloodborne. But there is also a way of getting around the werewolf, which I did. And once I got outside, it's not like, congratulations, now here is... more or here is a different level or a different like path to the story that will also lead you to your death.
You think take your ass back inside and get your ass whooped.
Exactly. Like I was outside and I was like, did I just break this game? Like what the hell?
So like there were no enemies that spawned outside.
So there was no enemies in the like courtyard that I was in. So much so that I was kind of worried because I was like, am I supposed to trigger a cutscene? Like, did I just break this game 10 minutes?
Are you talking about the house and it has the hill with all the graves and all that shit?
I don't know.
The headstones.
I mean, like, I think whenever you do die, it's going to take you to that.
Yes. So
the workshop or whatever that place
was. So, yeah. So what happened was I ended up finding an enemy and I was like, I guess we're going to square off. So we squared off.
He whooped your ass.
No. Here's the thing, though. Like, the game isn't hard. The game is not a hard game.
I mean, like, it's not hard
now. It's hard to me.
So here's the thing. The reason why I say the game is not hard is because I have been basically trained in the last year or so playing Gundam. Gundam is
for slow, methodical combat.
Yes, Gundam is a difficult game because it is a very slow-paced game, and you're also
a terrible frame rate.
Yeah, and you're also whatever. You're also battling latency and stuff. So, like for me, like playing Bloodborne, it wasn't like, oh shit, this is crazy difficult. It was just like, all right, this is my dodge frames. This is my attack frame.
So did you try Bloodborne before you played Gundam originally?
Yeah. But when I tried it, I only fought the werewolf and I was like, my character looks lanky as hell and I'm sitting here rolling around trying to fight this werewolf and I'm doing no damage. Why am I playing this game? So I made it to the guy. I fought the guy. The guy killed me because he lit me on fire and I was like, I guess I'm just supposed to die. So I let it just take me. I got to the house. I got my weapons. And I started actually playing the game. So the game is not terrible. It's not terrible. But as Cameron said, there's nothing there for me. Whoever has fun in that era, in that setting, sure, great. But like to me, everything looked the same. Everything felt the same. Mm. And I think what really like cemented it for me was I was in the, you know, the area. I don't even know what the name of the area called or whatever. Mm. And I'm like walking down a fucking hallway or whatever, and some guy jump out of a corner and attack me. I'm like,
gotcha, bitch.
Were you just waiting there for me?
Yeah,
like everyone else is like walking around and like minding their business. But like, this is the guy that jumps out. And of course I dispatch him quickly, but it's just like,
of course,
what's going on here?
Okay. Yeah. So DJ, since you're not actually going to play it through, I challenge you to watch a playthrough of it then. To see you.
No. I plan on watching a playthrough. Like, there's one of the old IGN UK podcast team. They have this new channel or this old channel called like Try Hard or something, and they play Bloodborne. So, like, I actually wanted to get into Bloodborne from watching them. So I'm just gonna watch their stuff.
So here's my like commentary on the Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Bloodborne, right? So if you remember in the Slack, I was like, oh, I'm going to buy Demon's Souls on PS5 because it looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a sucker for character creator. Like, it can be a terrible game, but if it's good character creating, I'll play it.
Yeah.
My thing with those games, that reason why the game doesn't hook me per se, is because the lore doesn't make any sense at all to me, or it's not compelling.
Yeah.
And because of that, the RPG like elements or items that are connected to the lore don't make any sense to me. So when like people are doing these like custom builds, or they're doing these like character progression with the souls that they're picking up, and they're using like the specific items that are tied to the lore, it makes zero sense to me. And yeah. So then I end up building these characters that make no sense because I'm like, well, how am I supposed to know that a doo-doo flower thing, yeah. ring, is supposed to increase my vitality? But what does exactly. vitality mean within the context of this world?
Yeah.
What does intelligence mean if I'm not doing any real magic within the context of this world? Like,
I will tell you, I'll tell you right now, makes no sense. That is a very Japanese thing because I deal with that playing Gundam. Funny, but like I deal with that playing so Gundam because I'm okay. Let me finish this, and another tangent I want to jump to. When I mention Gundam, I mean that like in Gundam, the things that describe the skills, they're written in world. So it's like this thing increases your evasive movement, but nowhere in the game tells you that the evasive movement is jumping.
Facts.
So like, yeah, so you have to do that research to understand what the fuck they're talking about. And then once you figure that out, you can use those things to figure out what the other skills do. But like playing Bloodborne, for some weird reason, I was taken back to Armor Core.
Yeah.
And like looking at the page of stats, I'm just like, this is From Software. Like, yes, like this is exactly how they do their stuff, because Armor Core, it is so stat heavy. And it's just like it breaks everything down by like 1.something% and all of the other crazy stuff. And it's just like, yeah, no, I don't got the time for this. No, I'm good. But the other game.
Are you done with Bloodborne?
Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. The other game that I was playing, and I was absolutely taken back by this because this was a whim, was Spellbreak. Spellbreak or Spellbreaker?
Same thing.
Yeah.
That's free to play, right?
Yeah, it's a free to play battle royale game, much in the line of if you know what Fortnite looks like, that's what Spellbreak looks like, but it's a magic based game. And also, when I first played, I did a tutorial. I was like, okay, I got to hang on this. When I first played, I took first place. When I played again, I took first place again.
So the game is easy.
It's not easy, sir. It's not easy. Okay. I'm just skilled at this game that I've never played before.
Cam, please go ahead and download it.
Right.
And let us know your results.
So the only thing I will say that it doesn't seem like this game is going to be supported much longer or is getting much support, because I think the teams that you need to play is like 33 or 34 people or something like that. And I've been playing solos and I've been at like 31 people in the queue, and it would take like a whole 5 minutes for the rest of the people to show up to play the game. So
and am I trying to play that trash?
Well, I think that's what it is. I think like this is a game that kind of hit and just didn't have enough sticking power to it, so people just forget that it's a game. But I actually really had a good time with it. Like, it's a magic based game with, you can combine different magic abilities to like create like explosions and like combination stuff. It's really fun. I would suggest just playing around in a tutorial to see like if you even care for this game. But that's pretty much what I've been playing.
Alrighty then. Well, I played and platinumed the free-to-play game Bucksnacks. Well, it wasn't free-to-play. It's free for PlayStation Plus people on the PS5.
Did you retain your humanity?
I did, because funny enough, they try to feed you a Bucksnack in the beginning of the game and you get sick and throw it up. But yeah, this game is a combination of, I'd say, Pokemon Snap and Ape Escape to a degree. It exceeded what I thought the game would be, and it's a comedy horror game, or a dark comedy game.
Really?
This actually isn't. This is a kid game in the sense that a Pixar or a Disney movie is made for kids.
Yeah.
But they have humor in there for adults.
Huh.
Okay.
There are two same-sex couples in the game. There are people that hate each other in the game and argue. There are people who, like this one person in there is a failed singer, and they're trying to convince the other person to, hey, you know, why don't you come on out and we eat some of your Bucksnacks later. But the other person is trying to farm and tend to their Bucksnacks. They care about them.
What is the premise of this game?
What are you
ultimately
talking about?
You're a reporter, and okay. You got a report from this Steve Irwin type character who's out on Snacktooth Island, and you're supposed to basically investigate what's going on the island. But when you get there, the person that you were going to interview is gone. So you ultimately end up trying to find that person. But when that person disappeared, everybody in town left because they were just like, F it. You know, food is scarce. We're going to go on our own way. So the premise of the game ultimately is you're trying to get everybody back into town, interview them to see what happened to the person whose name is Elizabeth, I think. Elizabeth.
Interesting.
You're trying to find out what happened to Elizabeth and basically figure out where she went to. And ultimately, as you're interviewing them, in order to get them back to your town, sometimes they want you to feed them certain bug snacks. And when they eat them, they, you know, you can change your body parts into whatever you fed them.
So is bug snacks like a metaphor for drugs? Like, what's happening?
Or cannibalism.
You know what? It just may be because this is a Soylent Green is, you know what? No, this ain't even that. So when you get to the end of the game, spoiler alert, you find out that the bug snacks are actually parasites and they are cutesy to entice you to eat them, but they actually take over your body once you eat enough.
That's wild.
Yeah,
that's
and
wild.
Come to find out, the entire island is actually just made of bug snacks when you get to the end.
Oh my god.
And
you've been feeding people bug snacks.
Yeah.
I mean, you find this out at the end, like, they're parasites. They act like they want to run away, but they actually want you to eat them so they can take over your body. And you end up saving everybody and flying back. And
I'm not good with that at all.
The whole undertone of the game is one of the people are like paranoid because they have what they call the Illuminati / Grumpinati, and like it legit has adult jokes in there without being like explicit or, you know, gratuitous. And it hints at a sequel because once you fly off the island and get everybody off the island, a bug snack apparently stowed aboard your ship, your airship. And it crawls out after everybody leaves.
Oh.
And then you hear the, you know, Grumpinati conversation in the background.
Huh. So I guess my question is,
why did the townspeople leave?
No. What is the temperament of a person who's been completely taken over by a bug snack? Like, are they just chilling?
The effect wears off after a while. For the time being, while you're in the game, anything you feed them, it stays there. But like the mayor of the town, you feed him a bunch of bug snacks, but by the time you get back to your employer to report what happened, he's back to normal.
Oh,
so I can't really say what happens once you're completely taken over because they didn't.
Yeah.
They may explore that for the, you know, the sequel, because there's clearly they set it up for a sequel. Yeah. But I mean, this game is pretty interesting. They give you a net to catch things, a slingshot where you fling sauces at things, you know, ketchup, mustard, hot sauce, cheese sauce. There's a plunger that you can snatch things up with. They got a tripwire. It's just a strange game, but it was ultimately enjoyable. It far exceeded my expectations for what it was going to be.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. I'm pleasantly surprised by your impressions of that game, because I had no idea what that game was about.
I thought it was something else entirely as well when I like got into it. Secondly, as I mentioned last cast, I had a cousin who bought Assassin's Creed Valhalla digitally on the PS4, so I had him sign into my PlayStation so I could play the PS5 version. So I am 8 hours into that game and not very far, because I was trying to beat the difficult people at the very beginning of the game that I should not have.
and someone tried to warn him vehemently in the chat, but I just knew he was going to do it.
No,
I knew he was going to fuck around.
They were clapping you.
No. I mean, yeah, a couple times, yeah, but I ended up killing him. There's this one guy with like two axes, and he basically knocks you over, just chops you with each axe. Jordan knows what I'm talking about. I don't know the name of that.
Oh, you mean a drinker?
Does he rove in groups?
No. I never got clapped like that.
No.
What are you talking about?
This guy is normally in a group. He's a skinny dude and he has two axes, and basically he'll rush you and start chopping you with each.
Yeah, those dudes can be assholes in the beginning, but you'll be tossing them around by like level 30.
So ultimately, apparently, jeez, level does level not 30. Matter for the most part in this game, though. If you have...
Oh, what are you talking about? That's a lie.
If you have two things...
Isn't it like Destiny power, like, by like based off of your power?
Yes and no. But Jordan, I've been reading up on the game. So ultimately, in my experience, I read this one...
I've been experiencing... All right, let me hear.
Round one. Fight!
I read an article where the guy said the missile reversal is everything. Work your way to getting the missile reversal first. And if you keep your distance with a lot of them, that will turn the tides of battle, as well as with the...
Well, what happens when you run out of arrows?
I said nothing about shooting your own arrows. I said missile reversal.
But you're saying stand away from them. Like, you gotta get close. Like, all weapons are melee.
What I'm saying is a lot of them will throw axes at you and throw spears at you. You can toss it right back. And ultimately, they will do this upwards of 10 times, and they will take out their own health.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're
shooting... I have a question.
Go ahead.
What are you guys talking about? Is it a counter?
So
No. Is it a counter?
It's a counter move.
It's a counter that can be used for enemies that use projectiles. Okay. But not every enemy uses projectiles. Some of the legendary animals don't. Dringers don't.
You tell me bears don't throw spears at you in this game?
No, the bear was throwing his baby cubs at me. What are you saying? So no.
I'm out here fighting Yogi.
But no. Everything has a weak point. So okay. When you
yes, that is true.
When you're
balls.
Aiming at them with your bow and arrow, if you hit the weak points, it'll stun them or put them in a state of, you know, they're on the ground. You can run up and stomp them and start chopping. And I don't know if those points regenerate.
Got you.
No. Each enemy has two bars: their health bar and their guard.
Yeah.
And the yellow bar is their guard. So you bring their guard down, you can give a finisher. But sometimes, if an enemy is powerful enough, they'll survive your finisher and continue to fight.
Yeah, that is the case. I'm sure that's the case, but I'm just saying, so far, with those two tools at your disposal, granted them not being like an end-level boss, it seems like you can cheese a lot of the game.
No.
Mm.
To much of your dismay.
No. At hour 8, mm-hmm. I am very excited to see how long you're able to keep that up.
The only limiting factor in battle is your stamina.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And once that stamina goes, you better start running.
You know what? what the hell is that enforcer who I think it starts with a V?
The Worldbringer. The Worldbringer, no, is that the one you're talking about? I said it's like all over the game.
I said a V. Basically, their icon on the map is a helmet with a cross on it.
Yeah, the Drinkers.
I don't know. But ultimately, I was like,
there's only 6 of them.
I guess. I was like, yo, I'm going to run up on this dude. Ran up on him. I ran out of stamina. And
oh, yeah.
I swear to God, I think he just kept on looking for me. No matter.
Yeah, no. The Dringer, I think there's only about 7 or 8 Dringers. And those dudes were like level 160 and over. Like, you don't fight them now. You fight them later.
The fuck?
Like, I learned that immediately. I was like, all right, time to go.
I heard. So my thing is, what I've heard from all the reviews of this game and all the, like, people who have been streaming this game, is that after a while, like, this game gets laughably easy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the case with any RPG when you level up high enough, but it's just...
The sweaty moments... I'm sorry, Sean. I don't know if you keep on...
I mean, I'm just really just taking my time, like, unlocking synchronizations and looting a lot, because, I mean...
Where exactly are you looting besides wood and timber?
Gold supplies for your next...
Because there's no loot in this game.
No, there is.
You get the same 5 armor pieces and you just upgrade them over and over again.
Cam seem a little upset.
Well, you know, I'll get into that advantage when I talk about this.
I mean, ultimately, I'm enjoying it, though. I'm just...
Okay.
I wish I would have bought this instead of Watch Dogs Legion.
Interesting. I did not expect you to say that.
This has more to do.
There's more hooks for you.
There's a more. I can already tell there's a more compelling story behind it versus Watch Dogs. There was just no focus anywhere in Watch Dogs. It was just gameplay mechanics strung along and a story slapped together.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, I'm interested in where they're going with this world ending thing in the present day and. How would I, like, this has caused me to want to go look at a story wrap-up of all Assassin's Creed. Like, what's going on in the present day?
Yeah, it's the same 3 and Sue, actually.
But go ahead, Jordan.
My final review. I share the same sentiment in regards to this game's comparison to Watch Dogs, and Watch Dogs is slowly being compartmentalized as Rage 2. You know, the story of Rage 2 took me, I've started that game 3 times and haven't won once. Oof. Haven't finished it once. Oof. But I'm at hour 40. I literally got an hour 40 of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I'm seeing the distinct advantages and disadvantages compared to Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Assassin's Creed Odyssey was way more straightforward with its resource system, but I do find myself being scarce with health,
really,
with arrows. So like they've kind of... In the last game, you leave a confrontation, your health automatically regenerates.
Oh, this shit doesn't.
In this game, you can find fucking cloud berries, mushrooms, find a deer to kill, because you know that health is not going to regenerate as automatically as Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I have a question about that. You said find a deer to kill. Can you collect the meat and then eat the meat later, or do you have to, like...
The moment you scavenge the animal, it automatically goes to your health. Okay, okay. But the other resources, including, like, hooves or antlers or tails or whatever comes from that type of...
Huh? You're not eating those, too?
Now you're selling them, my guy.
Eivor ain't black? What you mean?
Money is also scarce in this game, but you don't really use money for upgrading your base. Mm. You kind of use it to get some weapons that you wouldn't already have found in the story. I don't spend my money at all.
I haven't either.
I just don't have any reason to, because you kind of just stick, as Cam said, you kind of have a finite amount of armor inventory to which you focus on throughout the game, which does changes after each level up, which I do find somewhat interesting. Mm. If you really want to work through all of the types of weapons. And there's many different types of weapons this time around. In Assassin's Creed Odyssey, you just had the daggers, the sword, the spear, the hammer, and the axe.
This one you have each one of those. Ton of weapons, my guy.
Sorry?
Those are a ton of weapons. Yeah, the trident.
Yeah, well, trident was a type of spear. It was the same weapon art as a regular spear, though. No, but I get what you're saying. Like, there was a whole bunch of weapons.
I was about to say, Jordan, don't play Odyssey like that.
But in terms of weapon style, it was fairly finite. But this game, you can mix and match different types of weapon arts. You can have an axe in one hand and a spear in the other.
Got it.
A small axe in one hand and a giant one in the other. You can really start getting some pretty interesting styles depending on what type of player you're trying to go through. What about
two shields? Have you tried two shields?
Yes, you can do two shields. You can have no weapons and use your fists. Two shields, two shields. It might take a longer amount of time.
Have you tried two shields yet?
Two shields.
I have two shields.
Is it a magical experience?
Because like, you don't automatically come out the gate with two shields. You kind of define the other ones. But I don't know. Like they're kind of two different types of shields, but I don't know what the properties of one of the shield, which is kind of larger, affects the smaller one. It's the best way I can put it. But in terms of positives so far, combat's pretty great. The story is great. Exploration's fun. Each one of the mysteries that you find throughout the world have their own type of story. Each region has their own thread of individuals of importance and climaxes. And then once you wrap that up, then they become part of your alliance, which is, you're just trying to take over the southeastern portion of England.
Yo, some of these storylines are hilarious. I think I came across some kids and they were going on a pretend practice raid.
Oh, yeah. That was
and amazing. They're like, all right, well, I'll help you out, you know, and we go and stab up the place, get all the loot. And the little kid's like, yeah, death to Ravenstorp. And I'm like, oh, wait, what? Hold up, what would you try to... I swung on him, but the game doesn't let you know, fight kids.
And Eivor just comment on it, like, yeah, I'm playing with these kids now, but in about 10 years, I'm going to be whooping that ass. Like, that's what Eivor basically said, walking away from them. But as a final point, this game does merge, in my opinion, the best of both worlds in terms of the old Assassin's Creed and the new ones. Like, because I don't know, Cam, you remember in Odyssey, Cassandra or Exios, whoever you play, she's like, I'm not an assassin, I'm not a murderer. I'm like, you're an assassin. This one, Eivor really more so commits to being an assassin while being a Viking. So it's a great game so far.
Have you come across any glitches?
I have come across some glitches. In terms of negatives, boat navigation can be troublesome from time to time, because like very narrow corridors. So the moment you hit something, it takes you out of the cinematic, and like you're just not trying to waste time. It
throws you out of the boat.
And also, as a final point, the skill tree, they patched And I don't know if you played it early enough to notice this, Sean, but previously you could not see any of the main points of the skill tree. All that was clouded. After the first patch, they allowed you to see each one of the tendrils. Okay. Yeah, so you were just kind of dicking around trying to find out if hopefully this path is good, but appropriately, they allow you to respec any time at no cost, which is kind of a safeguard for it.
Are y'all playing as man or woman Eivor?
Chick Eivor. She's great. Her voice is way better than the dude.
I started out as the woman, but then I switched to the man because her deep voice was just kind of throwing me off. She had kind of like a weird gravelly voice, and it sounded like she was trying too hard to me.
I like the woman version, not necessarily because of that. I mean, like, the guy that plays Eivor is not a voice actor. The guy that plays Eivor is a dude that was from Fast and Furious, Fate of the Furious. He was basically Homegirl's number two. And also, he was in Game of Thrones, too. I don't know if you remember his face, but he wasn't the real voice actor. Nothing
against him. But. I mean, he's well enough that it doesn't take me out of the immersion. Okay. So, I mean, I may try the girl again, but it sounds like fucking Mulan trying to blend in with the dudes, you know, just... Yeah.
Well, she's a more modern voice. I mean, she's a Viking. Yeah, like they did. I think there's a contrast with the other women Vikings in your group. Yeah. And I think it gave her the heartier voice on purpose.
It just throws me off a little bit. I'm like, I'm good.
Okay.
How dirty are these people?
I don't know yet.
Dude, it is England.
We've been jam-packed in the What We're Playing section. We still got the rest of the podcast to do. So we're going to cut this conversation and we'll continue it at a future point. But now that we're done talking about what we've been playing, we're going to have a word from our sponsors. Marcus, take it away, please. Oh, my God.
What's good, y'all? Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure that you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, your Uncle Jim, I don't know. Every little bit helps. And after you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you've already done all this, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
And we're back. Okay, DJ, take it away. Quick hits. All right. Thanks, DJ. Number one, this comes from Attack of the Show's Facebook page. Austin Creed will be on G4's Attack of the Show. This is awesome. I was actually kind of waiting. Austin Creed is, you know, at first I was like, wait, you don't know? But I understand what you're doing. Austin Creed is the WWE superstar wrestler that you've seen in a lot of gaming avenues, where it be kind of funny. He has his own YouTube channel, Up, Up, Down, Down. And also, you might remember him from last week when we were talking about his group, The New Day, being in Gears of War 5.
No, it's not Austin Creed. It's Xavier Cruz.
They're all in the same
group. Xavier Woods.
They're the same person.
They're the same group.
Yeah.
Oh, they're the same group?
Xavier Woods is his wrestling name. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah. No, I should have mentioned both. That's a good call on you. Number two, the free games for December. So these are the games you can get for PlayStation and Xbox. So for PlayStation, you get Worms Rumble,
Boo.
Rocket Arena,
Boo.
Just Cause 4,
Boo.
And they're going to be available.
Just Cause 4 is terrible, though.
Well, I might try Rocket Arena. I don't know. We'll see. But that will be available on December 1st through January 4th. For Xbox, you get The Raven Remastered and Saints Row's Gat Out of Hell, and they'll both arrive on December 1st. And then you can also get Bleed 2 and Stacking, and those games will come December 16th.
Let's just get out of this console generation. All right, we're done. We're done with these old-ass games. Just gotta get out of here, man.
Oh, jeez, I don't even know what The Raven is. Number three. This comes from Glitched. Sony confirms PS5 was the biggest launch and they promised more stocks soon. So Sony managed to sell over 2.5 million units across both the 12th and the 19th of November, which were their launch days. And also to note, Xbox Series X also touted their largest launch of Xbox history. So both consoles sold incredibly well. Too bad a good chunk of those consoles went to scalpers, which we'll be talking about later on.
Scalped.
Yeah. And the inventory, I think I mentioned, will be back before the end of the year.
Just in time for more scalpers.
Yeah. And when they mean inventory, they mean like four. Number four. this comes from Video Game Chronicles. PS5 users are reportedly getting banned for selling PS Plus collection unlocks to PS4 users. So Sony is reportedly banning PS4 users who pay money to access the PS5's PlayStation Plus collection via a loophole. This loophole involves PS5 owners with the collection logging into the user's accounts of PS4 owners on their next-gen consoles, which causes the collection games to then automatically unlock on the user's last-gen console. Yeah.
Yeah, people were selling it for like $5 on eBay.
Just $5? Do they have no tact? Gosh. Number five. This comes from Kotaku. 2 weeks after launch, Xbox Series X quick resume feature isn't working great. So,
no, it's
not. The discovery of this bug tied to the feature required a system update that would then require games to be updated individually to support the service again. Sometime yeah. after launch. So when Xbox first launched, they had a bunch of games that worked with quick resume. Then once this bug was found, they had to pull games off of that list. So it's launch woes on both sides.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a patch because for a very short period of time when I first got to Series X, it was working between a couple games. But once I noticed it, maybe like 4 or 5 days out, yeah, quick resume, it would function like my old Xbox One. There would be no jumping between where I was in my previous game session versus where I wanted to be. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Number six. This comes from... What the fuck is that? The FPS review. I don't even... Okay. Anyways, Microsoft released statement after PS5 outperforms Xbox Series X in various titles. So, basically, what happened here is, you know, Xbox has touted the Xbox Series X as being the most powerful console of this generation or whatever. But then Digital Foundry actually discovered that games like Devil May Cry 5 was actually outperforming on the PS5 versus the Xbox Series X. Same thing with Valhalla and Black Ops, Call of Duty, and Dirt 5 as well. So Xbox, once they got this news, they were like, oh, that's weird. So they basically just said they're going to talk to the studios and figure out what's going on. And
so there is an update to this story. There was a patch released for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
That's actually
the
next article. That's, yep.
Oh,
now you're, sorry, no worries. No worries.
But yeah, like actually that is adjacent to your Xbox Series X underperforming story, because the dev kits for the PS5 were out there. They're saying longer than they were for the Xbox Series X's. So the type of dev kit that developers were using may have not been the latest edition of what the Xbox Series X was. So they are programming a game for that dev kit. There would have been a disparity in performance wise. So they kind of have to go to each developer and have them properly optimize their games for the Xbox. And nobody's the Xbox less powerful than PS4. It's about how optimized the applications
right.
are. So that's on the developer. Because
At this point, it is about optimization.
I know. No. Cam's making a face, but Cam, you got to have a PS5 to talk about it. So I'm sorry.
You know
what? Them's the rules.
All right. As Jordan said, number seven, this comes from Polygon.
Take your cape off.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla patch adds 60 frames per second mode for PS5 and Xbox Series X. This patch also addresses a bunch of bugs, fixed localization issues, user interface problems, and brings the fish back. I saw this. I added it to the thing. I had no idea what that meant. I'm just going to look at Sean and Jordan. You guys understand what they're talking about here?
I never tried fishing.
Oh.
The fishing's dumb.
I bet.
I don't even know why I upgraded that part of my village. I should have just upgraded the fucking bar.
All right, number eight. This comes from thegamer.com. Assassin's Creed art director reported, basically said that AC Persia is inevitable. So
I guess they just missed out on Japan, huh? Because Ghost of Tsushima did it better.
You know, a lot of people were thinking that Japan would have been next, yeah. But in terms of the theme of Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla, in terms of recurring characters, it seems like they're trying to stick in this like Mediterranean era.
What would be so unique about that setting that?
Well, the Ottomans, it's
just give us a Prince of Persia game and move on, please.
Cam, you're right. I mean, it's going to be Prince of Persia essentially, like that type of style of game making. Yeah. It's going to be like that.
Mm. Well, speaking of game making, number nine. This comes from Kotaku. Watch Dogs Legion's online mode delayed as team focus on fixing bugs. The comment that I added to this was, sounds a lot like Anthem on steroids.
Mm. Yep. Not even. I don't even think it's like that, man. Come on. Be logical.
Yeah, it's what? Legion came out October last year.
But I mean, like, it's... I don't know.
Anthem, you mean?
This is the same thing that happened with Anthem, though. And Avengers.
You know, it is pretty... I see what you're saying. It is pretty close to... Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers.
And our stuff.
Boy, anyways, that has been the quick hit.
No. You bought that game, right?
Yeah, I did. Now it's time for the heavy hitters. Jordan, you're up.
Well, if you're trying to learn how to make a fine lifestyle for yourself and your family and building your wealth in the future, don't be a scalper. They are the worst thing to ever happen to capitalism.
Mm.
And they need to be stopped. But it's all up to the vendors and
the consumers,
producers of our company. Yep. Consumers too.
You got to just not buy from scalpers.
Yeah, exactly. But big shout out to Best Buy, because Best Buy actually put efforts forward to make it really hard to scalp consoles from their website. Now we just need them to have consoles to sell. Because fuck Walmart. Fuck Walmart and their little deer.
I know.
Well, what happened recently was there was a group, a scalper collective called CREP.
Yes.
CREP Chief Notified, based out of the United Kingdom. And they say they have no regrets over allegedly reselling about 3,500 PS5 consoles this month.
Is more. They didn't resell them already. They have them in their possession. They're still trying to offload them.
So I think it's about 2,400 that they have claimed to sell within an inventory. Mm. And I did some investigation myself into this group. Turns out they have 2,800 members. And they stated that each one of these...
You said 2,800?
Resell 2,800 members within their group.
Jesus Christ.
So... this is a Ponzi scheme. This organization is a Ponzi scheme. Essentially, you buy in by purchasing their bot software. Before the consoles, they were heavily involved in sneaker culture.
Oh.
You know, like the big sneakers coming out, a lot of them would be virtual because a lot of the inbox stores would not have like that special brand, at least in a large supply. Mm. But now they've set their sights on consoles, seeing that consoles are still hot. We're in the middle of a transition between the current generation and the next. And people are just trying to, you know, have a good time while socially distancing inside. The scalpers themselves put their own money into the purchase once they secure the pre-order in hopes of flipping it for 20, 30, 40, and at sometimes 400% the value of that original console. You have some consoles going up for $20,000. And just to give you an understanding of how these individuals think, these hype beasts think, here's a reply to Alana Pierce. We talked about her last week, who said it was infuriating. And CREP Chief Notify, one of these hype beasts on their phones, said, "Hi, Alana. It's unfortunate that you feel this way. I imagine the unfortunate children being able to wake up to presents this Christmas because we've helped out their parents pay their bills, and put food on their table feel that way. A luxury item or food. These guys are weird. Another tweet. Congratulations to our members. In less than 24 hours of the release of the PS5, our members have secured 2,500 consoles this morning. Stop missing out. Reselling isn't going away. So jump fast and maximize your profits. Oh, so my question to the group is...
These niggas are villains.
There you go. It's unethical. How unethical are these assholes?
I mean, because like they could have just not responded and just been like, you know what, I'm okay making money.
They had to, though.
But like...
They were compelled.
The fact that they responded literally made them
villains,
in my opinion.
They didn't even have to advertise that they had that many on hand.
Exactly.
Like,
it's a flex. Exactly. It's a weird flex. And I think they're competing with other... Like, this is just one group. Right. Like, there are other... They're like fucking... Right.
I think I agree it's a bit of a flex that they have more consoles than other groups, but also you said they're paying for the software, so it's probably a means to try to recruit more people into the shit because
like it's about $30 a month. Like it's a month subscription plan. Like they don't pay for the consoles themselves. Nice. Like they don't have an inventory and giving it to people to resell. You pay $40 a month to have this software, and then you use your own money again to buy the console and so you're already down $540, hope to resell it for $800, $900, $1,000, so you get like a net game of $460 or some shit.
Yeah. See, but here's the thing that
which is still, you're still in a deficit because you spend $500.
Yeah, like you end up making $400 or $500, and then that's it. And like you have to make it right now before the end of the year, because once the supply like secures itself,
you're
no one's going to go to you.
You're
going to
be sitting on all this shit, like losing value technically.
Kind of like in the beginning of the pandemic when all those people were buying toilet paper and then they restocked and now they're stuck with all this. This one dude spent, I think, everything that was in the bank on toilet paper and then he tried to return it. And he was just asked out. He's like, how am I supposed to feed my kids? You're a dumbass. Why did you buy a couple $1,000 worth of toilet paper?
Did the same shit with hand sanitizer, too.
Eat a toilet paper. It's biodegradable.
It's delicious.
Here's the thing. I was watching a video on YouTube, and they were basically saying how some of these reseller groups are trying to buy ad space on popular YouTubers' videos to get, you know, to direct them to their eBay pages or what have you. Because,
hey,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how about this? So, Sean, literally, right before this podcast started, he told me to download, what's that?
OctoShot. I think it's called OctoShot.
Yeah.
So, I do it, right? Uh-huh. I get the notification. There's a PlayStation 5 available on Amazon. I'm like, oh, snap. Sean's right. I click on that joint, $1,000. It's $1,700 PlayStation 5 from a reseller. And I was just like,
well, I think you can filter it. I think you can filter it by certain things. You probably didn't like tune it just yet.
Yeah, by price.
Yeah.
The worst part about that is that the exact thing happened to me, but what Cam's talking about, where like one night I saw it and I was like, oh shit, oh cool. And then like I already knew like it's Amazon. Okay, so it's crazy price. And then like maybe like 4 or 5 seconds later, maybe a minute later, the little thing popped up. Nothing's on Amazon anymore. Like, someone fucking bought that. Like, oh my God.
I bought it. I'm like, so here's like my experience getting the Xbox Series X. It took me an hour.
Because nobody wants an Xbox.
Okay, Cam. But.
Like, I can get 20 Xboxes if I want to right
now. Wait, can you
like,
really?
Nobody wants that because shit. Because.
No,
I might.
He's lying.
I mean, that doesn't sound like a very bad idea.
That's not like a good investment.
It took me like an hour and like 45 minutes going between Target, Amazon, Newegg, Walmart, and some other tech site. So like you're trying to beat the bots by clicks. You're trying to like hopefully the refresh that you do is the right one. Because if it's not, going over and over and over again, and all these people are forced to stress themselves for an order, like it shouldn't be like this. Like we should not be competing with machines to get this. But as long as vendors continue to scoff at this, because when I was thinking about this last night, mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, do producers have the incentive to crack down? Do vendors have the incentive to crack down?
No.
Because for them, it's like, we are just moving product. Like, we are getting compensation from fucking scalpers or regular Joe Schmo. So they're like kind of shrugging at, which is very unfortunate. Yeah. They have no incentive to really crack down.
Absolutely.
Like, but wouldn't Sony themselves, like, for example, if it's Walmart, Best Buy,
that's what I'm saying. The producers, like Sony and Xbox, like they're just moving product. Like they see the product leave and they get the 500 from or whatever amount from the sale.
What it boils down to is that it's up to Sony to look at the retailers and being like, Walmart, you're fucking up. Target, you're fucking up. Best Buy, good job on putting a CAPTCHA in your system or whatever. We're going to give you more supply. Like, that's what it boils down to. Like,
but the bots can beat CAPTCHAs now.
Well, I mean, but it's more so rewarding the retailers who are at least trying. Like,
what's the point of them rewarding them though?
Because like the thing is, Sony,
they're gonna
Sony,
sell regardless.
No. Sony.
No, but like we get to actually play it.
No. Sony is the one that looks bad right now. Like, yes, to the educated gamer, they're like, oh, scalpers or whatever. That's whatever. But like, it's Sony's product. It's Sony's product that it's on everyone's minds that the scalpers are talking about. They're not talking about Xboxes. They're talking about Sony. Like, I mean, I'm not even saying that.
The Xbox
like,
is sold out as well.
Yeah.
It's just funny to hear it.
Yeah.
the Xbox are still encountering the same scalping protocols.
Right.
But the problem is, like, I don't know, like, within economics, there's this chart. Yeah, supply and demand. And what the scalpers have done is artificially move the point where the price is onto the trending downward demand curve. Mm-hmm. So the more supply you have, the less the price is going to be. They've moved it up artificially, and they are pricing consumers and households out of the purchase. So it's going to hit a point to which you had those individuals that are like, yo, fuck it, man. I'll put up the $1,000. I'll put up the $900 for this shit. Once those start reducing, like once those who would have originally paid the $500 amount get satiated, like once that happens, then it'll probably move back to where it should have been. And then we're going to start seeing, and move back to quote unquote equilibrium. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like what scalpers have done, which is hard to be controlled by both the vendors and the producers and consumers as a whole, as long as there's some consumers out there that are going to buy the $1,000, we're stuck with this for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, money is nothing to them. What I was getting at earlier was, real quick, because I know we're running out of time. They have secured so many systems that they're trying to buy ad space to direct people to their pages, because now, you know, eventually they're going to start undercutting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the longer you hold on to the system, it's kind of like a used car, you know, a car dealership. The longer they hold on to it, they're losing money.
Right.
It's a Ponzi scheme. I don't feel sorry for the scalpers as much, but it harms like them too. Like it's like they're gonna be stuck with all these fucking PS5s and nowhere to move them.
Exactly.
So
and then
that's one
last point to, I don't know, put a bow on this is like, again, I feel like, yes, we can say like Walmart, you need to do better. Target, you need to do better. Whatever, like the retailers need to do better because they do. But at the end of the day, this is just for them just pushing product, like Jordan or whoever said, like that's what it is for them. So for me, I feel like it is on Sony's side to address this in any way, shape or form. And it's one of those things where I've been saying this for the longest time, like Sony is displaying really, really big PS3 vibes right now. And it's that thing where they just now apologize for the whole like scalping stuff or whatever. And it's like, Microsoft,
they shouldn't have to.
Well, no. It's not even that they have to or not. It's that they need to communicate that. Like Microsoft, like weeks ago said like, yeah, look, our stocks are going to be like really, really thing until April. So, you know, that's what it is for us. Whereas like Sony is like, yeah, we just sold 2.5 million, whatever. And like, even in that tweet, people are like, to scalpers. Like, you sold them to the scalpers. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's not what
There's nothing you can really do as far as online scalpers. People are crafty. You can build bots to imitate human behavior.
People are crafty.
It's just exacerbated because everybody has to get it online now.
I know. Well, like, as we said at the beginning of the conversation, scalpers have... They're opportunists. They've taken the opportunity of where we are in the pandemic, the demand of this new technology, which is very important to people, and exploiting it. Just like they did with sneakers culture, just like they do other shit, right, too. We're just experiencing it as a video game.
But here's the thing, though. Right. Yes, exactly. And the scalpers are crafty, but if you as a retailer do nothing to even try to stop that, then you are also at fault too, and you should be penalized from that, and Sony should penalize those retailers. And like, that's what I'm saying, like, they should be like saying, you know, they can even make it public. I don't know whatever contracts they have, but just being like, we're actually going to give Best Buy more consoles because they're actually trying to make that playing field fairer for the consumers out there.
They don't want to lose shelf space in the long run. This is just temporary.
There is no way. I definitely feel like Target and Walmart would be like, oh no, we're gonna fix our stuff. Please continue sending us consoles. Because
they don't need consoles in their stores, though.
They don't, but they also like money.
Inventory general is not just brick and mortar stores. I mean, they do have like they will make space.
But to Sean's point that they don't need inventory in store, it makes sense given the context of our world now. So for example, like, you can't go to Target and just buy, like, king-size bed sheets, for example. They tell you to buy it offline because they're like, there's no point of us having inventory if we're not having a ton of people in our store. And so,
but
like,
some people want it on hand.
Yeah. Right. Some people want it on hand. You know, and so it makes sense that they're like, everyone going, especially for a hot contested item, like a PS5, we're in a pandemic, you don't want pandemonium in your store. Like, you're like, I don't want to keep these consoles in my actual
store. Yes.
Yeah.
Which,
so Cam, there was actually a funny Bed Bath & Beyond commercial that was like, hey, do you remember stores? They exist. You can buy things and get it that day and bring it home. Like,
we're at that
point to which 2019 feels like a different planet.
You know, man, I think they should have made that commercial with younger people.
Where do you say, Cam? And then we'll wrap it up.
No, I was going to say, it's like, Kim and I have been watching like reality TV from like, I don't know, even last year, and people would just do stuff. And I'm like, where's their mask?
Why are they so close to each other? Real thing, man. That is like,
yeah, you're triggered. Like, holy shit. There's a lot of people inside this boat.
Even things I see on like social media, I'm like, is this pre-2020 or like...
Some people had to put a disclosure.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people like straight up putting disclosures on shit saying like, this was done last year. Hey, don't at me.
I do that with their IG with pictures like, hey, this was a... Just so you know. Who we took this picture before COVID.
But...
Damn, man.
That has been us talking about all the things gaming. Unfortunately, we didn't get to any necks or toes, so maybe next episode we'll touch on those things. But this has been
Cyberpunk is coming out.
Yeah,
get ready.
Can't wait.
Day one for all of you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hell yeah! What?
All the bugs.
I'm talking about that Friday. I want all the bugs. Shit, man. I'm not going.
So I can give this game a 4 out of 10. This has been an episode of Press X Star.
Already, I said no. Mark my words. DJ's gonna complain about the shooting.
Yeah.
See, the car's not working or some dumb shit. I can't wait.
Y'all gotta listen.
My car doesn't work. DJ, did you turn it on?
I don't care. 3 out of 10. Let's go. All right. This has been a wonderful episode of Press X to Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details more on our website at pressx2start.com. If you're feeling so nice, you can actually subscribe to our YouTube account by going to pressx2start.com/YouTube and go ahead and subscribe there. We're trying to get at least 100 subscribers so we can get a custom URL. So please help us out.
100.
We just need 100. That's all we need. And maybe some money. Yeah. All right. That's us. And we're out. And take care, be safe, wash your hands, and stay away from people.
Play games and listen to Press X. Bye. Yes.
Peace.
Bye.